I'd like to welcome everyone back to the Duck Pond Wall. This is a little show on WEHC where we pretend like we're sitting on the Duck Pond Wall catching up with a friend. I'm your host, Monica Hoyle, the alumni director here at the college, and I am excited to welcome today in the studio Christina Mitchell, Emory and Henry class of 2019. How are you doing?
I'm doing so good. I'm so happy to be here today.
I'm so happy that you're here today, too. We've done a little story on you in the past, but man, the world has been turning for you lately, and I'm excited for everybody to hear what you're doing. Okay, I'm just going to give everybody a quick preview. You're working at NASA. Let's just start there. You've had a big week because the eclipse was Monday, and you've got this wicked cool project that you're here to, on campus to do a lyceum about tonight. So let's just start at the beginning. What's like your day job at NASA look like? What does that look like?
Yeah, so my day job is a multimedia production coordinator. So in a typical day, I'm managing probably three or four different multimedia projects. Like I have my hand in like live broadcasts, shows that are going to be put on NASA Plus, just different like video projects that we do for missions. And I'm sort of that bridge between the multimedia group and whatever mission we're working with. So I track the project timelines, all the different deliverables, make sure everyone's up to speed, make sure there are no big roadblocks, help with staffing and assigning tasks and things like that.
So am I understanding you right that part of it is to make sure the public kind of has a chance to see what it is that goes on at NASA?
Yeah, so that's sort of, you know, the outcome of what I'm doing. My job in itself is to make sure that these multimedia projects that will show the public what's going on actually get across the finish line.
Oh, I gotcha. So you've been there since you graduated, right?
Pretty much. I spent a year working somewhere else.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so I did two internships after I graduated at different NASA centers. And then I spent a year working somewhere else and went back to work at NASA Goddard.
And the original story we did on you was one of my favorite things of all time because you found out about the internships at the county fair.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's the sweetest thing I have ever heard in my life.
Honestly, it's kind of wild because literally I was at the fair and talking to the NASA representatives there, and they were like, hey, you need to change your major and come work with us. Here's how to apply to internships. And a year later, I was there.
So what were you majoring in?
I was majoring in psychology.
And you switched over to?
Communications.
Communications. But, you know, the communications people think I only ask communications alumni to do my show because, but you guys are all doing the most interesting things. I mean, you just seem very flexible in the world. You're out doing creative stuff.
And we're very vocal about it. Yeah.
Well, there is that. I didn't want to say it, but yeah, there is that. So let's talk about this week. I'm so excited about getting to the project, so we're going to get to that in a second. But let's talk about this week because it didn't even occur to me till you sat down. Of course, this has been a busy week. We had a huge total solar eclipse on Monday. Yeah. What were you doing during all that?
Yeah, so I was working at NASA Goddard in the TV control room. There were, I think, about half a dozen NASA broadcast locations across the path of totality. So, you know, there were only about four of us left behind in the Goddard control room, and we were managing 13 different telescope feeds. So if you were watching the broadcast and seeing, like, the different telescope feeds from the different locations, we were managing all of that and switching out those feeds so that people could see, you know, the different points of the eclipse at different locations across the country.
Oh, my gosh. Was that fun?
It was fun.
You know, you work at NASA, so do those things get old for you, or is it still really exciting to see something like that?
You know, I think it's a mix. Like, some days are like, oh, you know, it's just another day at the office. Okay, we're doing this broadcast. And some days are like, oh, wow, like, what I'm doing is actually really interesting. So, you know, there's a mix. I mean, I think with any job, there would be.
I'm just guessing that, though, when you talk to, you know, when you're chatting with your friends and everybody's talking about what their day was like at work, I'm thinking you walk away with a pretty good story. Let me tell you what I did today.
Yeah. I mean, most days are like, oh, yeah, I answered like 10 million emails and had like 5 meetings.
Oh.
But that's an average day.
So it is like other jobs. Mm-hmm. I get it. Yeah.
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 And then there are some days when I'm like, oh, yeah, we worked on a live broadcast.
and watched the eclipse all day.
Right.
Did you get much feedback from that? Did you hear anything back that was really fun, like from kids or anything?
And, you know, not really from the broadcast, since it's just like it's streaming online. We don't get the sort of feedback. I mean, I'm sure the social media team tracks all of that. But
yeah.
Us, like, in the control room, we don't really get so much of the feedback.
You can spin that any way you want to, that you're in the control room at NASA. When I tell people about this, I'm just going to exaggerate. I'm going to say, Christina works in the control room at NASA, and just make it sound, I'm not going to tell them what mm-hmm. you control, just that you're in the control room.
Yeah. Most people think mission control. I'm definitely not there, though.
we'll just call you Major Tom from now on.
Okay.
This is Thursday, April the 11th. You're back on campus today because you've been invited to come talk to students mm-hmm. about a very cool project you've been working on. And I always tell people in these interviews, I like to play dumb mm-hmm. because I do it really well. And I'm going to again this time because what you've done is like something I've never heard of before. Mm-hmm. But you have created a new game? Is this right?
Yeah. So basically, NASA has never done tabletop role-playing games before. Like, NASA has done plenty of, like, video games and, like, educational games geared toward little kids, but has never really ventured into tabletop role-playing games, which is something I personally am a big fan of.
We'll start with my dumbness there. Uh-huh. So when you say tabletop role-playing games, you're talking about what exactly? Give us an example of like something that we would all know about.
Like Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay. So Dungeons and Dragons. So that's mm-hmm. the kind of thing where you kind of get to make up the story a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. It's collaborative storytelling is how I like to describe it.
Okay. All right. So now go.
Okay. So about a little over a year ago, I think, I being a fan of tabletop role-playing games myself, being familiar with the community, it just sort of dawned on me one day that there's a lot of overlap between people who love science and people who love tabletop role-playing games. And yet NASA has never tried to reach out to this community specifically. So I was like, you know, what if we did?
What if we gave the people what they maybe want and
exactly.
don't even know they want?
Exactly. That was a lot of the comments I saw were like, I didn't know I needed this. but, you know, starting from the beginning is, you know, I called up, like, I had this wild idea pop into my head. And I'm like, I don't think anyone's ever actually going to go for this. But, you know what? I'm committed. I had the thought and now I'm committed to it. So I called up my boss and I'm like, okay, I have an insane idea. And he was like, okay, I don't understand what any of this is. I don't understand what you're saying or what you think you're trying to do here. But I can tell you have some kind of idea, and you're not typically one to speak up if you don't have some kind of a plan. So flesh out your plan a little bit and bring it back. And I was like, okay, great. So I wrote up like a pitch, made a presentation about it. I took it back to my boss and his boss, walked them through it, and they were like, oh, okay, well, this actually does make a lot of sense, and it's definitely something new, which, you know, we're the government. We don't do a whole lot of new. So they were like, this is new, and we're intrigued. So let's try to get some support behind it, and then we'll pitch it to a mission. So I took it to NASA headquarters digital media lead and got her support behind it. She was like, this is fantastic. And she's like, I play too. And I had never even dreamed of anything like this. And let's do it. Let's make this happen. What do you need from me?
Wow.
So, yeah, getting her support was major.
Yeah.
So then we took it to the Hubble Space Telescope project and gave them the pitch. And they were like, this is interesting. We love it. This is new. This has never been done before. Go do it. Go make it. We'll fund it. So then it was time to start putting the game together.
Okay, so Well, I have so many questions because, first of all, you just talk like, oh, we went to the Hubble Space Telescope. Like it was just another Tuesday. I mean, I love that. Were you scared to go even talk to these people?
No, not really, because I've worked with Hubble like several times before, because before I was a production coordinator, I did like media campaigns. So, you know, I was already familiar with the Hubble group. I'm familiar with, you know, several different missions. And, you know, I've had some familiarity with the headquarters folks as well. So, like, going to them, like, it was a little bit out of the ordinary, but not super out of my typical way.
Okay. All right. I would have been nervous as a cat, but as long as you're cool with it.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what is the idea? What's the idea that they all went, ooh, that's interesting?
Yeah, so basically a system-agnostic tabletop role-playing game. So you can play it with, like, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, whatever system that you like to play in. And it's basically, it's a setting and an adventure. So, like, I started with the setting, and a lot of the feedback I've been getting online is people can tell that I started with the setting because I created this rogue planet with a civilization on it and, you know, really kind of fleshed out the setting a bit, like kind of a lot. And
spent a little time on that, did you?
I spent just a little time on that. But, you know, I wanted to like really have a world that people could play in because since this is, you know, it's just the first time that this has been done. So they didn't want to be like, okay, you can create a whole campaign setting and like series of adventures. Like we weren't ready to put that much resource behind it yet. So I already had a bunch of ideas for the setting. So I'm like, I'm going to create something robust enough that like a GM or a game master could easily fill in some gaps and continue playing in this world. But here's like your adventure to start you off with.
Okay.
So, you know, there's some shenanigans with the Hubble Space Telescope being plucked out of Earth's timeline and, you know, being stolen by a not well-meaning entity from this rogue planet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then the adventurers, I love this part, the adventurers are people who work on Earth with Hubble, but, you know, in the timeline where there is Hubble, they worked with Hubble. But they don't know that Hubble ever existed because it got plucked out of
Earth's timeline. Oh.
So then they sort of get sucked into the bodies of the characters that they created on this rogue planet and go off to rescue Hubble and send it back to Earth.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Do you normally have such a wild imagination?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not new. Good to know.
No, creating a new world and adventures that take place on it is nothing new for me.
Okay, I'm going to have to go back to being dumb again. So, for instance, in Dungeons & Dragons, you do have, I don't know how this works, so you have some things that are kind of set in, not almost stone, but like kind of set in stone. Like this is your realm, this is your world, and then you get to make up different parts about what happens while you're in there, right?
Yeah.
Do you get to make up like the adventures that you have, or are you given an adventure?
So it's sort of both. So, I mean, at least in the way that the Lost Universe works, like you have like certain, I'm going to say checkpoints along the way where like you are going to interact with certain characters. And, you know, some areas like you can branch off and there's like, well, if you go this way, you're going to interact with this character. If you go this way, you're going to interact with this character. And that's sort of how you get the information. And, you know, there are puzzles along the way that you are going to find. So, like, there are sort of, like, checkpoints along the way. But in between those, it's pretty much what you want to do. So, you know, I love it when players just, like, do something completely off the rails. And you're like, wow, I didn't anticipate that. So then you, like, as the game master, you kind of have to adapt to the world a little bit and, like, try to get things back on track. But it creates, like, there's a lot of flexibility in games like this for just, like, player shenanigans. And that's always when the story gets really, really fun.
I want to remind everyone we're speaking today with Christina Mitchell, Emory and Henry Class of 2019. NASA employee who has just created this sensation of a game that is a tabletop role play game. So you've created something like Dungeons and Dragons. So is there like a, you mentioned the space Hubble, the mm-hmm. Hubble Space Telescope, and this rogue planet out there. Are there other sort of spacified things that are related to NASA that they got excited about?
Yeah, so, I mean, I will clarify that, like, it is a tabletop role-playing game adventure, but it's not a complete system. So, basically, it's compatible to be played with Dungeons & Dragons or Pathfinder, a different system, but it's not its own
system. It doesn't stand alone.
Right. Like, we created it so people can play with whatever they're familiar with.
Oh, okay.
To keep it as accessible as possible.
So how do they, okay, so now this is, I'm getting into this now. Mm-hmm. So if they're, let's say they want to play through Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. Who do they have to interact with to suddenly be off on this little adventure? How do they get there?
So the game master who pulls like all the stuff together, has all the statistics and everything, they will just basically apply the Dungeons and Dragons rules over the adventure we've already written. So it's not
okay.
It's not like they have to go change a bunch of stuff.
Right.
They're just basically like, instead of saying like something is a medium difficulty, they're just going to plug whatever numbers the Dungeons and Dragons system uses into that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the adventure ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, plug in whatever game system you want to use with it.
Okay, how much time did you have to spend with friends playing this to figure out where the loopholes were, where the pitfalls were, where the good parts were, where the stuff was that you needed to fix?
You know, I think we only had about 4 different play tests of it, actually.
Really?
Because I've spent a pretty decent amount of time playing, and I'm normally the player who breaks things. So I was able to...
Could you figure stuff out?
Well, I will say I'm a chaos player.
Oh, so you're that person.
I'm that person. So I sort of wrote that with, like, what would I do in this situation? Okay, I'm going to try to anticipate that move. So it was really fun because I included one of the characters I play in home games within this as, like, a non-player character that people can interact with. And the first play test was with friends that I've played with before. And they're all familiar with this character, and they didn't know that I had put her into this game, and they went the pathway where you interact with her.
Uh-huh.
And it was my best friend who was like, during this whole like interaction they had with her, I didn't say her name, and then my best friend was like, wait a minute, what's her name? And when I told them, they were all like, oh no.
That's funny.
It was really, really interesting. But the first play test, we definitely had to change some things afterward because I accidentally killed all the players. So we had to modify how that challenge went a little bit.
I can see why they may be worried about putting you in charge of too much at NASA now.
Yeah.
This may be a new concern.
They're just slightly chaotic.
What has been the feedback from gamers and people who play these things? What are you hearing back?
So we haven't gotten like a ton of people who've actually played through it responding yet. But like initial feedback on it was like, oh my gosh, this thing is awesome. One of my favorite comments was like on a YouTube video where someone declared me queen of nerds. I loved that one. That was absolutely, I think that's the peak of my career.
I would wear that with pride.
Oh, I do. My coworkers are threatening to put it on my cubicle and I'm like, please do.
Please do. And does it come with a tiara?
Because, exactly.
Come on.
But, I mean, there's about 3.5 million views on the post when it went live on X. So I checked
Holy
those
cow.
Metrics earlier. Yeah, so it's gotten a really, really broad reach. Last I looked a few days ago, we had about 100,000 game downloads. So, you know, it's gotten a lot of traction. There's been tons of articles.
I was going to say, what has been the press on this? Because I saw several things. So you've heard from a lot of different entities, I'm guessing.
Yeah, there's been, I couldn't even count how many news articles there have been. But, I mean, there were 2 from Forbes that got published that were talking about, like, the world building behind it. They were like, this is so much lore. And also, like, this is not what we would have expected from NASA, and yet it's really interesting. Space.com had a fantastic article as well that actually like credited me as the game designer. Yay. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm saving this for forever.
Yeah. That's almost as good as Queen of Nerds.
I know, right?
So what are the folks at NASA saying? Are they excited to be getting a, you know, some new kind of publicity out in the world?
Yeah.
Because this kind of makes them look younger and hipper, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was one of the Forbes.com articles said that people are talking about NASA in a way that rarely happens anymore. So, you know, that sort of feedback really, because people were nervous about releasing this at
sure.
first.
Yeah.
Because we were like, this is new. We don't really do new. but, you know, so there were like upper management being like, what are you doing? Are you sure?
Yeah.
And, you know, I had, you know, the OCOM management, Office of Communication Management behind me and like the Hubble team behind me. So they were all like, trust us, this is going to be good. But it was way better than any of us were expecting. But yeah, I mean, people were nervous about releasing it at first,
yeah.
But you know,
anything new.
Exactly. But you know, getting feedback like that from Forbes, I think relaxed everybody quite a bit.
I would say so.
So now they're like, okay, well, like, do you want to go to conventions and stuff like that?
Oh,
so,
what are the next steps for you? Where does this go from here?
You know, we're still looking at that. You know, we put a call out, I think it was last week, to collaborate with streamers to, you know, stream like a playthrough live on Twitch.
Oh.
So we're going to try to, you know, get that rolling. We're still, like, we got a lot of comments back from that post. So we're still sort of wading through and, like, deciding, like, you know, where exactly we want to collaborate on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's in the works to hopefully try to, like, push it a little deeper into the tabletop community.
Yeah.
You know, we promoted at AwesomeCon in D.C. the weekend that it released. So that was really interesting because a lot of, like, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids were like, oh, hey, I want to play this. And they're like, oh, my gosh, you're so little. it's like, I didn't know kids that young were really into tabletop games.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I mean, it's just been really, really fantastic to see all of that.
Oh, and my goodness.
Yeah. We're tracking. We don't have anything else in production quite yet.
Yeah.
But we're definitely keeping our options open.
Well, but and you're still playing with this one. You know, you're still mm-hmm. sort of fleshing this one out a little bit, too. Well,
yeah.
Now, OK, back to being dumb. So will you create new challenges and adventures within this framework?
You know, we don't know. So, you know, this first adventure was, you know, sponsored by the Hubble Space Telescope. So, you know, they funded this first adventure. I don't know if they would fund further adventures along the same lines or, you know, if we do more of these adventures, if it would be something more like, you know, working with maybe the Earth Science team or mm-hmm. the James Webb Space Telescope and how that might fit in with this, you know, world that we've already built, or mm-hmm. if there might be new worlds to build for
right.
them.
Right.
So, you know, it's very, very early stages at this point.
How could we get to the end and not say what the name of it was? The Lost Universe. And if somebody wants to play, how do they find it?
It's on NASA's webpage. So you can, honestly, if you just type in on Google NASA Lost Universe, it'll pop right up.
Okay. All right. Well, because there's like 6 million hits on it already, evidently. Yeah. So.
And it's all free to download, too. So.
Oh, that's nice. Because mm-hmm. it was sponsored. It had a sponsor.
Yep.
Well,
it's a government product, so it's totally free.
That is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And what does this do for you? Because now they see you as this sort of wonder kid who's like came up with this great idea. And do they see you differently, I'm thinking?
You know, I haven't noticed so much of that.
Do I need to call somebody?
I mean, sure.
Do I need to call somebody and say, are y'all paying attention to this kid? Come on.
I mean, like, there's definitely been, like, managers have been like, what in the world? Where did this come from? But, I mean, pretty much after it released, it was kind of back to day-to-day for me. So we'll see how that tracks in the long term.
Well, maybe day to day, but now you've got a tiara, Queen of Nerds. And
exactly.
So that's what I'm talking about. All right. So you're going to talk to students about it today. Mm-hmm. They're going to be excited about this because am I right that it feels like more people are playing D&D than used to?
Yeah. I mean, when I was putting together the pitch for this about a year ago, I was looking up statistics and stuff, and I think if I remember correctly, there were about 50 million D&D players worldwide.
Oh.
And about 40% of those were under the age of 25.
Wow.
So,
wow, that
is definitely big.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And do I get street cred for calling it D&D?
Yes, absolutely.
I thought that made me sound very hip.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we're getting down to the end here, but I got to thank you for coming to tell us this story. And I got to say, we were going to be on the edge of our seat to see what is coming next with you, because I love that. I mean, you've been out of school 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Look what you've already done. This is crazy. I think this is so much fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so really and truly, when you go back, it's back to day to day. What will your next big project be? We can't give you an eclipse every week. So what?
Oh, I know.
What's your next big thing coming?
The next project, I'm not sure how much I can say about it quite yet, but there's going to be a big series that releases on NASA Plus that I'm doing a lot of production management for. Yeah, that should be coming later this summer as well.
And NASA Plus, is that a cable network?
That's a streaming platform.
Oh, okay, NASA Plus. I didn't know about that. Okay.
Yeah, so it replaced NASA TV.
All right, so you can't tell us about it, but it's something good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Christina Mitchell, Emory and Henry Class of 2019, and creator of some awesome new tabletop role-play game that involves outer space and Dungeons and Dragons, and it's the game that you didn't know you needed, but now you know.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
The Lost Universe.
All right. Well, we're going to be watching NASA Plus to see what you get into next, but in the meantime, we got to go create some adventure.
Yep, definitely.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us today, Christina.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks to everyone for listening today to the Duck Pond Wall. I hope you'll stay tuned to WEHCFM 90.7, WISEFM Wise 90.5. This is the voice of Southwest Virginia.